Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
What is it about the church today that people have lost the fear of God? Is it because the church is so powerless? They don't see the power of God. They don't experience the presence of God to understand you can't lie in church and not have it affect you. You can't deceive people who are anointed by God and have it not affect you, or at least make them think that they don't know that you're lying. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell on the floor and died. There was nothing else he could say. He said, Ananias, out. He fell to the floor, he died, and everyone who heard about it was terrified. They said, I'm not going back to that church anymore until I clean up my act. While Ananias was laying on the floor, the Bible says the young men came and got him. And then they had the second service. And at the second service, his wife came. Isn't it interesting that they wanted their separate praise? They didn't want to stand up as a couple and say, look what we did. They were so into being honored, they said, well, look, you go to the first service, they'll honor you. I'll go to the second service, and they'll honor me. About 3 hours later, the Bible says, his wife came in. Not knowing what had happened. Peter said to Ananias, his wife, can I ask you a question? What was the price that you and your husband received for the land? Oh, she replied, this was the price. We gave everything. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of God like this? The young men who buried your husband are right outside the door. I guess they're going to come and carry you away too. Instantly, she fell on the floor dead. When the young men came in, they said, oh, this is his wife. We'll bury her next to the husband. And they buried her beside her husband. And great fear gripped the entire church. And everybody else who heard what had happened. God moved in that service. That's an awesome thing when God moves into service, isn't it? It's not the kind of service you'd necessarily want to have, but God was present in the service. God is present in most services where the Holy Spirit can have his way. The Bible says that the reverence for God is the beginning of wisdom. Folks, listen, please, 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 please. If you decide to do anything, don't blame God for it. Don't say God told me to do it. Look at the person next to you. This bears repeating. Look at the person next to you and say, if you are unsure that God is telling you to do something, don't say he did. Because consequences can follow. No, folks. These individuals, they were giving to God, but their motive was wrong. And of course, they lied as well. One of the things you have to understand as a Christian is whatever you do, you must be motivated by your love for God. That's so he'll accept it. In fact, love and obedience go hand in hand. I want you to listen to what Jesus said about this in John 14 and 24. He said, a person who doesn't love me doesn't do what I say. That's a lot of people. I don't know them personally. I know a few. But that's a lot of professing Christians who don't obey God. It goes on to say, I don't make up what you hear me say, this is what Jesus is saying. What I say really comes from the Father who sent me. Now, the Bible is telling us that if we're not willing to put the Lord and his direction in every area of our lives before our own desires, we can't be his follower. Now, I know this might be shocking to some of you. Maybe some of you have only heard about the love of God. You haven't heard about, you know, after you get married. How many of you are married here? You know, before you were married, you like kisses and everything. But after you got married, you found out there were more things. How many of you found there were more things, more than the kisses and stuff? Oh, this is the crowd I love to be with. Truth be told, the love of God is responsibility. You have a responsibility when you make a covenant with God. It's not just all about love. See, a covenant is really saying that God has responsibilities toward you and you have responsibilities toward him. One of those responsibilities is you can't put anybody before God. In fact, you can't even put yourself before God. Let me show you that in Scripture. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everybody else by comparison. Your father, your mother, your wife, your husband, your children, your brothers, your sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you can't be my disciple. Now, that is so unlike the devil. The devil says, look, hey, if you want to serve me, you don't have to be 100% in. It's all right. Let's make a deal. See, the devil will give you whatever you want to follow him, as long as you don't follow God completely. Some people are looking for a husband. They're looking for a wife. They're looking for the perfect spouse. Hey, if you ask the devil to help you find somebody, so maybe somebody tall, dark, and handsome, somebody who is just beautiful, somebody who is rich, someone who will give you all the love that you desire or not desire. The devil will even give you 1,000 friends on Facebook, sending you likes every day. If that's what you want, he'll make a deal. He tried to make a deal with Jesus. He said, Jesus, wait, Jesus. He was tempting him in the wilderness, and Jesus kept saying, but the word of God says, but the word of God says, but the word of God says. He said, wait. I heard, rumor has it, you're going to that cross. Ooh, that's going to hurt. I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. You don't have to go to the cross. See, the devil tries to make a deal with us. That deal is always about diluting your destiny. It's all about not doing what you were truly called to do and truly called to be, and not reaching your full potential in God. Jesus said to Peter, who was being used of the devil to tell him not to go to the cross, he said, get behind me, Satan, because all you care about are the things that have to do with men, not the things that have to do with God. The devil will compromise with you. And when you are doing things that are edgy or things you kind of feel and know, man, the Bible says I shouldn't do that. He's the one who comes and says, but it's all right. Hey, God knows you're only human. You're only human. And humans make mistakes. But God will love you anyway. In fact, he'll always love you. You know, the grace of God covers all your sins. Go ahead, do it. You like it. Now, the painful thing about relationships is this, that often the devil will influence people who are closest to you to cheat on that relationship. Jesus had it happen to him. Peter was one of his inner circle, one of his three closest associates. The Bible tells us one day they were going somewhere, and Jesus told all of the disciples, tonight all of you are going to desert me. He gave them the scripture, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep and the flock, they're going to be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee, so meet me there. But Peter, he said, even If everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. He was full of pride. Ain't no way for me to fall. In fact, he was the one who tried to correct Jesus not to go to the cross. If everybody else fails, I won't leave you. Jesus said, oh, well, can I just tell you a secret? This very night, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. You're going to say you don't even know me. Peter said, no, that's not true, Jesus. Telling Jesus something is not true makes you crazy. Even if I have to die with you, if I have to die with you, I will never, never, no, 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 never deny you. And all the other disciples said, yeah, us too, us too, us too. We vow. Yeah, 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 yeah. The Bible tells us, I'm reading from Matthew 26, so you know I'm not making this up. Verse 73. A little later, some of the bystanders came over after Jesus was arrested, and they saw Peter, and they said, hey, aren't you one of them? We can tell by your accent. Peter said, my accent? Well, let me use some cuss words. The Bible said he began to cuss. He said, I think I'm with nobody dead and da-da. Who, you got that? I don't know the man. Who in the world in the man? I don't know the man. Suddenly, the rooster began to crow. And Jesus' words flashed in front of Peter's mind. You have denied me. You have denied me. Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. You will say that you don't even know me. And he went away, the Bible says, weeping bitterly. Your cheating heart will make you weep. Maybe not today, but when you cheat on God, when you cheat on Christ, it's not going to work out to your favor.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Coming up this Sunday at Spirit Life Church, Pastor Steve continues his eye-opening series on the Book of Revelation. Here's Pastor Steve to tell us more.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. At our Sunday morning service at 10 a.m., I will be teaching a series on the Book of Revelation. I believe we're living in the season for which this book was written. Bible prophecy and current events actually confirm this truth. You see, Jesus Christ will soon return. And the book of Revelation says in Revelation 1 and 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all of the nations of the world will mourn because of him. Now, if you believe the Bible, you must also believe that Jesus Christ will return as it says. The book of Revelation details the events leading up to the return of Jesus Christ and after. This book begins with a promise of blessing, and it's to all those who read, hear, and keep the words of this prophecy. You know, there have been many people who have been afraid to study this book, but it isn't about fear, my friend. It's about faith, understanding, and being ready to meet the Lord when he returns.
Don't miss this powerful word. Make plans now to join us this Sunday as Pastor Steve continues his compelling series on the Book of Revelation, The Unveiling. The church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
When you cheat on Christ, it's not going to work out to your favor. Judas himself, who betrayed Jesus, he gave him a deceitful kiss, hung himself. What you need to understand is whatever the devil uses to cause you to put God not first in your life, he'll use to torment and to destroy you later on, if possible. And the guilt was too much for Judas. He just went and hung himself. Now repeat after me, the attack of Satan against my life is a battle for my heart. Who will I worship? Let me ask you a question. Who will you worship? Will you worship yourself? Will you worship a relationship? Will you worship a pursuit? And let me just make it plain. Anything or anyone that you place before God is an idol, including yourself. And if you're not worshiping God by default, you're worshiping Satan, the god of this world. And like I told you, he'll make a deal. He said, let's make a deal. As long as you bow and worship me, I'll give you whatever you want. Now, that story I told you about Jesus saying, get behind me, Satan, in the wilderness, get out of here. When he said, I'll give you all the kingdoms, you won't have to go to the cross. The Bible tells us right after that, the devil went away from Jesus. Could it be that the devil continues to hang around and tempt you be because you haven't decided who you'll worship? I don't know about you, but even as a younger Christian, there were trials, there were temptations that I had in my life. And every time I get to a certain point with God, I was all successful. But when I get to a certain point, all of a sudden, this temptation always came back. It was like all of a sudden, oh man, the thing that I was delivered from is looking me right in the eyes like, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Oh, I've been delivered from that. Come to me. How many of you experienced that? You don't have to raise your hand. I know you have. Could it be that those things repeat in our lives because the devil's not sure if God is reigning on the throne of our hearts? I remember when I finally just said, "Hey, I'm not doing that. Lord, I've given my life to you, Holy Spirit. I submit to." It went away. It was like it was never there before. But I had to make the decision. I was not going to betray the Lord anymore by my own desires. I'm going to end by telling you this, and that is this: you've got to understand the nature of God. Now, I know so many people think he's just so far away, but now remember, God the Holy Spirit is with us. He's with us, he's in us, he's all around us. So he's not far away. But to understand the nature of God, you have to understand that God is love. Look at the person next to you and say, please remember, God is love. All right, so when we talk about relationships, we're talking about the purest love relationship that you can possibly have. That's who you have it with if you've accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. In 1 John 4:8, it says, anyone who does not love does not know God. So number one, if you don't love everybody like yourself, you don't really know God. The Bible says, for God is love. And it goes on to explain this. God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life. This is real love. So what God is showing us is real love is sacrificial love. If you say that you love God, you've got to be willing to sacrifice. It can't be your way or the highway. Jesus prayed 3 times because love is sacrificial. Father, if there's any other way for salvation to come to humanity without me getting on that cross, please, let's have that way. He prayed it 3 times. But then he got the victory over himself. If you're going to maintain a relationship with God, you've got to be all in. You've got to be all in. You can't be partially committed to God. You can't be partially committed to your covenant with God. In Revelation 3:15, listen to what Jesus says. I know your works. Hey, I know you. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. But because you're lukewarm, neither one or the other, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. So much for our relationship. You think you're in, I don't accept partial relationships. I'm not a part-time lover. Got it? Listen, you got to understand that about God. He's not. Look at the person next to you and say, God is not a part-time lover. And God will choose people who love him over more qualified folk. And we think they're qualified, but God has actually said they ain't qualified. If they don't love me, you are not qualified. What brings you to the top of the list is that you love me more than everybody else. Well, Lord, I just don't have, the skills. I don't have the ability. Do you love me? Yeah, I love you with all my heart. You got it. You're in. That's what caused David to be in over Saul. Saul stopped loving God. He was the king. You know what God said? I'm looking for somebody who will love me. Somebody who will love me with all of your heart. And David was that person. Samuel looked at the sons of Jesse and said, hey, he's the part. He's the one. God said, no, I don't do it that way. I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. I look at the people who love me. And David loved the Lord. Let me just give you a few scriptures in closing in Psalm 18:1. And he said, I love you, Lord. You're my strength. You're my rock. You're my fortress. You're my savior. Psalm 63:1. Oh God, you're my God. I earnestly seek for you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. Psalm 116:1-2. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and all of my prayers, and for the mercy he gives me, he bends down his ear to listen to me. I will pray to him as long as I have breath. Folks, listen. Your heart is the door that Satan tries to enter into your life to destroy you, to destroy your family, to destroy your destiny. You need to always pay attention first to God. How much do you love him? How much are you giving to him? You know what? He expects everything. I'm going to say it again. He expects everything. That is the commitment level God is at. He's all in with you. He wants you to be all in with him. If you're not giving everything to God, you got to question if you are connected in a real relationship with God, because God says, I don't accept the lukewarm. I'm not a part-time lover. You can't treat God any way you want to treat him and think it's all right. That's why you have to guard your heart, the Bible says, because your heart is the place where you allow God to sit on the throne or you're sitting there yourself. Can I ask you a question? How many of you can take yourself to heaven? Let me see your hand. That's what I thought. God needs to sit on the throne of your heart. And you need to always remember that with God, that your life is secure. The devil's going to try to get you to cheat. But like the song says, your cheating heart will make you weak.
Thank you for joining us again today for A Place to Grow. If you would like to get a copy of today's message, you can download it for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org. Navigate to the Media tab and click on Audio Messages. You can also help us keep this radio ministry alive by making a donation on our website as well. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message is part two of Your Cheating Heart Will Make You Weep. Now, Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
If you do not know that your sins are forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Save me and deliver me from the influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Your word says anyone who comes to Christ becomes a new creation. The old things pass away and everything becomes brand new. Thank you for making me new today. Thank you for becoming my Lord and Savior. If you've prayed that prayer, then Jesus Christ is in your heart. And know this, you're on your way to heaven. God has a purpose and plan for your life that is so wonderful. I want to encourage you to seek God daily in prayer and read your Bible. Trust Him for everything you need. God bless you, and keep listening to A Place to Grow.
We hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hurst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.